We're looking at Bible Survey, and it happens to be the 29th one. And as I'm thinking about this survey tonight, and I'm thinking about what an amazing book God has given to us. And I'm so thankful, and more all the time, that I began to start this survey. As I've explained before, it's not something that's easy for me, and it's hard for me a lot of times to hit the highlights and move on. But beyond just hitting the highlights and the favorite stories that we gravitate towards, when you back away and begin to look at the Bible as a whole in the big picture, it begins to come into focus in such a way that's amazing. For example, we've been studying and studied at the beginning human history. And we went then into Hebrew history and the nation of Israel developing and their history. Over the course, we've been over a chapter or two, the first six chapters of the book of Genesis covers 1,600 years. And then you come to a book like Deuteronomy, covers a month. The whole book, something around a month. But when you step back and begin to put some pieces together, for example, Genesis teaches us who we are. Sinful. And desperately in need of a Savior. Man in his very best condition sinned and fell from fellowship with God. And within 1,600 years, God said, I got to wipe the whole place out. It's got to go. Their thoughts are only evil continually. And then in the book of Exodus, we learn of salvation and deliverance in Christ. And it pictures deliverance in Christ. And in the book of Leviticus, we learn the connection between morality and our close fellowship with the Lord. And Leviticus is teaching us of that holy relationship with Him. And it's preparing us for what should have been a fairly quick journey from Egypt to the Promised Land, to that place of wonderful peace and rest and victory in Christ. And we had all the necessary elements in place. We had the deliverance in Exodus. And we had the instruction manual in Leviticus of how to maintain that close relationship with the Lord. And we get to the book of Numbers, and God tells the folks there, go send out spies, 12 of them, one man from each tribe, go look and see what I'm giving you. And they wouldn't go. 10 of the 12 said, we can't. We can't. They could have entered into spiritual rest and victory in the Promised Land. And they said, we can't do it. And the majority cried out, we can't do it. I can't. Let's appoint somebody and go back to Egypt. We liked bondage. Really? The book of Numbers then goes on and shows them wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. Until that whole generation died. They were such a close journey to the Promised Land. They were right there. And by unbelief, they did not go in and claim that victory that God had given to them. Now, I thought of that in light of this. When I said this, that I pray that our joy of heart and our enthusiasm for God would so boil over in our lives that people would see it. And that people would say, I want what he's got. I don't know what it is, but I want it. Brother Powers always used to say, we ought not to look like a mule ready to kick a new fence. Barnard would always say, I look out over you people, and you look like you've been weaned on a dill pickle. Where's your smiles, he would say. I thought we were supposed to be the happy ones. They could have entered into that wonderful rest so quickly, and they didn't. Do you think anybody wanted what they had that 40 years they were out in the wilderness, dying? There's nothing there that anybody would have wanted. That's the picture of a life saved all right enough, but not living the close, victorious life with Christ. But had they, at the edge of the promised land, gone in and taken the land like God had told them to do, then they would have been demonstrating something that other people would have wanted. Then they would be saying, I want what they've got. And what they had was deliverance in Christ. And a close what they should have had was then a close relationship to him. Well, we'll get to Joshua, but turn with me to Psalm 95. Psalm chapter 95, verse 10. "40 years long was I grieved with this generation, and said, it is a people that do err in their heart, and they have not known my ways, unto whom I swear in my wrath that they should not enter into my rest." They did not live a close spiritual relationship with their deliverer. It was right there, and they could have, but they didn't. Through the lack of faith and unbelief, they said, we can't do it, it's too great. Now a new generation has come onto the scene. After that first one died in the book of Numbers, that old generation died off, but the new generation died to self. The new generation learned a lesson from the old generation. They said, we don't want that. And they died by God's schoolmaster out there in the desert. They died to self. Little by little. That's the thought of, we read in the New Testament, of taking up your cross. The cross isn't something you drag around. That's not the picture that Paul has in mind. My understanding is, and the Lord himself says, that taking up the cross, that's a picture of death. And taking up the cross is me dying to self. And he talks about taking up our cross daily. Dying to self daily. Not what I want, but what the Lord wants. Not what I want, not my will, Lord, but thy will be done. And the new generation seem to have learned that. And they are now giving God the right attention, the right place in their lives. And Deuteronomy then, that book that only covers about a month, God has got their full attention, and he reminds them of the law. He re-gives the law. And all of the not just the moral law, but an overview of all of the law. The social law, ceremonial law, it's all been re-given. Now that he has their attention, and now that they're looking to him, and he gives them the law, and then the book of Joshua comes along, and they're ready to go into the promised land. They're ready to enter into that spiritual rest. Look with me, just before we look at Joshua, to Deuteronomy chapter 12, verses 9 and 10. Deuteronomy chapter 12, verses 9 and 10. For ye are not as yet come to the rest and to the inheritance which the Lord your God giveth you. But when you go over Jordan and dwell in the land which the Lord your God giveth you to inherit, and when he giveth you rest from all your enemies round about, so that ye dwell in safety, then there shall be a place which the Lord your God shall choose to cause his name to dwell there. Thither shall ye bring all that I command you, your burnt offerings and your sacrifices, your tithes and your heave offerings of your hand, and all the choice vows which ye vow unto the Lord. But he said in Deuteronomy, in the midst of reminding them of his law, he said, you haven't entered into that rest yet, but you're about to. The last piece of that puzzle is knowing how to do that. We can have all the enthusiasm and zeal in the world. Something can have our complete attention. But until I know how to do it, I'm missing that component. I can have all the zeal in the world on how to perform brain surgery, but I've never studied it, and I've never done it. My hands are pretty steady, though. I think I maybe could. Anybody want to volunteer to let me try? You know? I can have all the zeal in the world, but until I have the know-how, I'm missing a component. They seem to have now been given all the attention to God. God has their full attention, and they've got that last component of knowing how to do it by the restating of the law in Deuteronomy. And then Joshua, the book of Joshua comes along, and now they're ready to enter. Look, Joshua 1. Now, of course, Moses died. We looked at that last week. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, I'm in Joshua chapter 1, verse 1. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. So we have now in the book of Joshua the folks entering into Canaan, going over Jordan. And here's where we'll take some typology that you often hear and modify it just a little bit. You hear the crossing of the Jordan as entering into heaven, the crossing of the Jordan, going over to the other side. And the picture is all right, but I think there's a better one. Crossing over Jordan, entering into the place of victory in our walk on this earth. There's too many adversaries in crossing Jordan and Canaan to be heaven. There's too many trials to be heaven. But it is rather a really good picture of what we cross over, calling it crossing over of Jordan, and walking over and taking hold of the promised land, that spiritual rest in Christ, that victorious life in Christ. Not without its battles, but you're equipped to win those battles. Not without its trials, but you're equipped to go through those trials for the honor and glory of God. They are now ready to enter into that spiritual rest that he told them in Deuteronomy that they hadn't quite got to yet. They're ready for this victorious Christian life of faith. This life of faith in action. Faith demonstrated by our actions. James says, I'll show you my faith by my works. Faith without works is dead. What we say with our lips is then demonstrated with our lives. The folks in the desert at Exodus chapter 20 at Mount Sinai said, we'll do anything you tell us to do. And a few short months later at the edge of Canaan, we can't do that. We can't go in there. There's giants in there. And they lived a defeated life as they wandered around in the desert dying until that whole generation was dead. They could have lived the victorious life 40 years sooner, but they didn't. And the next generation behind them had to die to self and be ready then to show that life of faith, walking victoriously, not sinless perfection, but victoriously in Christ. A surrendered and settled life. I'm surrendered to the will of God for whatever he has for me, and I am settled on this. He's God, and I'm his servant. I'm settled on this. He's Lord, the owner and possessor and disposer. That means he can place the disposition of everything. It is up to him, my life. It's up to him how things go. It's up to him how long I live. And I'm surrendered to that, and I am settled in the fact that he's God, and he's not only able, but has the right to do this. So I now cross Jordan and walk into this victorious life in Christ. Enemies being conquered, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Enemies being conquered as you go in. And enemies arise all the time. Sometimes my own worst enemy is me. My own desires, my own lusts, my own predispositions that I have, the word is escaping me, that I come to the Bible with my own pre-settled conclusions. I'll say it that way. And instead of being open to what it says, reading my Bible to prove my point. But if we really come to this place of being surrendered and settled and ready to walk victoriously in him, we have to throw out our presuppositions. There's the word I was trying to find. And say, Lord, you teach me. Lord, you show me. God's people saved, as described for us in the book of Exodus, delivered. And now settled. And that is the message of Ephesians 4. And he gave some pastors and apostles and pastors and teachers that he may teach, they may teach, until we all come in the unity of the faith, that we be no more tossed about, but settled. Settled in the things of God. Grown up, mature in the things of God. They're now going to experience that in the book of Joshua. The book of Joshua covers about 24 years, the latter 24 years of Joshua's life. And at the end of the book of Joshua, it'll tell us that the people of Israel served the Lord the whole time that Joshua was alive. He led them in good ways, in godly ways. What's interesting between Joshua and Moses? Moses was the lawgiver. And here's where the type in the picture gets really, really neat. Moses was the lawgiver, and the law cannot bring you to a place of rest. The law rather shows you your need of Him and creates a crisis in your life. Paul said the law was a schoolmaster to bring him to Christ. The law was a tool used to get him to the foot of the cross. But the law cannot save. Romans 3:20, by the deeds of the law there shall be no flesh justified. So Moses, representing the law and being the lawgiver, he didn't go into the promised land. Joshua did. Moses got him right up to it. And God said, you can't go in. Moses, my servant, is dead. Joshua, you take him. Now, another thing about this victorious life that Moses tried to lead them up to that place 40 years ago, and they through a lack of faith, they didn't go in. And so what were they bound then to do? Make circles out in the desert for 40 years. Follow the pillar of fire in the cloud. The Dunaways sing a song, go ahead and make another lap around Mount Sinai till you learn your lesson. Just out there wandering around aimlessly in circles. That's not the victorious Christian life. Straight to the cross. Not departing to the right or to the left. Straight on. And here in the book of Joshua, he'll tell them that you are to walk straight on, following the word of God, no more following the pillar of fire and cloud, because they're not out wandering anymore. Now they're settled in that promised land. Let's read on in Joshua here, verse 3. In verse 2, he's just told him to go over Jordan. Verse 3, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. That whole wandering around in circles out there in the desert, that's done. Straight line, walking straight. Don't turn to the right, don't turn to the left. How? This book of the law, verse 8, shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. So, That 40 years of wandering around has now come to an end, and they're going to cross over into that victorious place of rest. Not rest from working, not rest from battles, but spiritual rest. That whatever work I'm doing it for the Lord. And whatever battle I'm fighting it for the Lord. And in the power of the Lord, then I am victorious. Rest to my own self desires. Rest to my own trying to maneuver and manipulate my way. Rest from all of these things that are indications of a lack of faith. And entering into that place that is so often called rest. They're crossing over now. Verse 13 through 15. Remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God hath given you rest and hath given you this land. Your wives and your little ones and your cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side of Jordan. But ye shall pass before your brethren armed, all the mighty men of valor, and help them until the Lord have given your brethren rest, as he hath given you. And they also have possessed the land which the Lord your God giveth them. Then ye shall return unto the land of your possession and enjoy it, which Moses, the Lord's servant, gave you on this side of Jordan toward the sun rising. There will be such a spiritual joy, spiritual rest, faith demonstrated, faith in action. Over there will be that life that others might be able to look upon and say, I want that. Not out there in the wilderness. And that's where so many of God's people stay far too long. Out in that wilderness, trudging along, dying to self. Out in that wilderness, just barely making, how are you doing today? Oh, okay. One guy always used to ask down the floor, how are you doing today? Fair to middling. Never got any better than fair to middling. I guess that's better than awful. But God's people spend far too long on the wrong side of Jordan many times. And by faith, crossing over, entering into that victorious land of rest, by surrendering and walking close with God, by feeding on His Word, and not turning from to the right or to the left from what it says. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Putting the Lord first. Doing what he says. Now let's look at the book of Hebrews for a minute. Hebrews chapter 4, the biblical commentary on this entering into rest. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you seem to come short of it. Deuteronomy 4:1. Be fearful, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. Ever feel like you've fallen short of the victorious life found in Christ, available in Christ? Romans 8, we are more than conquerors through Christ. He said, let us therefore fear, That's something to avoid and stay away from. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. How many people do we know that have heard the word of God, heard it, and never quite seem to be able to follow it, never quite seem to be able to implement the things that the word of God teaches and the principles that we find in the word of God? They look at them and say, yep, they're there. I can't do it. Most times that means I see it, but I don't want to do it. I won't do it. For we which have believed do enter into rest. As he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. Now remember, he'd sworn in their wrath, this generation, he'd sworn in his wrath, this generation shall not enter into that rest because of their unbelief. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest. Seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Again, he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? There remaineth, therefore, a rest to the people of God. For he that has entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his. And he used the illustration of God resting on the seventh day. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest. Not any old rest, that one. Lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. So verse 11 really tells us the nuts and bolts of this thing. Let us labor, let us work for, let us strive to enter into that rest. Growing in the things of God, surrendering myself to Him, surrendering my own wants and wills and wishes to Him. Surrendering all, as we sing about very often. Being settled in the things of God. Labor to be settled in the things of God. Labor to know what this book says. Labor to know how to live that victorious life. Labor to enter into that rest, pictured by the crossing of Jordan into the promised land. Labor, he said, verse 11. Therefore. And now look at verse 12. How it's all connected again, just like it is in Joshua. For the word of God is quick. He's again giving us the instruction manual. He tells them in Joshua, cross Jordan, enter into rest. But this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. For therein thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. As soon as he told them to enter into that rest, he reminded them, stick to the book. Here, he's telling them, labor therefore to enter into that rest, for the word of God is quick, it's alive. It's powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Stay with the book. Stay in the book. Don't depart to the right or to the left. It's quick. It's powerful. The word is going forth. Someone's proclaiming the Bible. I'm preaching. Brother Mark's preaching, whatever. And to Ken, it says one thing. And to Elmer, it says another thing. Not contrary things, but there's a nugget there that Ken needs. There's a nugget there that Elmer needs. There's a nugget there that Keith needs. And on it goes. And Mark's reading one verse, or I'm reading one verse, and it speaks to everyone in the room to meet their need, because it's alive. It's quick. It's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It cuts through all the fat. It cuts through everything that's in its way. It divides perfectly and says, right here's the path. Don't stray to the right. Don't stray to the left. Straight on. No more walking in circles. Straight on. That victorious life in Christ. Cross over Jordan. And I'm not talking about debt. Let's cross over Jordan and walk that victorious life in Christ. Settled on the Word of God and surrendered to Him, putting our faith to action. Brother Keith dismisses in prayer.